we're going to go here tonight, and we're just going to believe that God is going to set people free. You know, I realized, hey, there's a lot of people walking around saved, going to heaven, very broken, still bound. And I don't think that's the way it should be. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we're going to go there tonight. And just be ready, be open. We're family. This should be a safe place. And when I call things out tonight, just come, because this is your moment. You know, this may be a bit of like a doctrine, theology sort of a thing, so don't come up to me at the end of the meeting and say, you're wrong or whatever. Like, this is my view on this. But I actually don't think sin's the problem. Because I heard a lot that, you know, when we sin, like, God separates himself from us. Have you guys heard that? But when I read the Bible, that's not what really stands out for me. Because I don't believe it's the sin that's the problem, it's the why we're sinning. You know, when Adam and Eve, anyone going to give Adam a punch in the face when you get to heaven? I think I am, eh? But you know, reality is, if it wasn't Adam, it was going to be the next guy, and if it wasn't going to be the next guy, it'll be you and I. Because God gave us choice. But you know, the problem wasn't that Adam and Eve ate the apple. The problem was that Adam and Eve got in conversation with the snake, which led them to sin. Because it wasn't that sin separated, because I don't know if you've read what happens in the Bible verses later. Who came looking for them? He didn't go, oh, well, you've sinned. I'm now going to walk away from you. He came... Hey, what's going on? Where are you? Hello? Where are you? He came looking for them. And some of you, you just think, I can't, the sin, it's the shame, it's all this stuff. No, no, no. We're going to get to the root of the problem tonight. Because the problem isn't the sin, it's the why. And for some of you, it's a generational thing. For some of you, it's a spiritual thing. And you're just being putting a Band-Aid on that thing. But those voices, that anxiety, that addiction, that thing, I believe isn't a natural thing. It's not something that you were just born with. That's the way I am. No. Yeah, you were maybe born with this because it's a generational thing. And Jesus is going to smash it in the face tonight. Didn't that sound a bit violent, didn't it? Oh, sorry. The kingdom of God is violently advancing. And the violent take a hold of it. I'm unashamed of the gospel. I'm unashamed of calling witches and people that are in occults out, because this is what Jesus did. And it was just natural. And all these things that we're going to do tonight should be naturally happening in our church meetings. It can get a bit weird and a bit out of it, but when the supernatural meets the natural, it does get a bit funky. But I believe here people have been comfortable for too long. You've just been playing church games for too long. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to live a selfish life. He died on the cross for you to live a selfless life. Selfless. This is no longer your life, people. It's not your life. Whoever finds their life will lose it, it says in the Bible. But whoever loses it for my sake will find it. The more I die to self, the more I die to the call, the more I realize who I am, my purpose, my assignment, and why I'm here. We're all going to get to heaven one day, people. And the people that are there are the people that are there that made it. For too long, the church has been so focused on worship, and so focused on how it all looks. I don't know about you, but man, I haven't even done an intro so good. Hey, my name's Trent. Kia ora tato. Jesus. But you know, like, in the New Testament, in a nutshell, Pastor Alan Ellenup, man, I honor you guys. You guys are awesome friends, awesome people, incredible pastors. Love God, love people. This here right there is exactly that. That's all you need, man. Not like people, because I don't like half the people in my church, but I love them. I don't like them because I know what they're doing behind the scenes. I don't like that, but I love them. But, and Dave, man, help me out here. New Testament believers, what are we pretty much called to do in a nutshell? We're called to worship God. We're called to evangelize. And we're called to disciple. In a nutshell, am I right, my friend? That's us, New Testament believers. So when we get to heaven, what are we called to do? We're called to worship God. We're called to worship God. And we're called to worship God. So our eyes have got off the main picture. Because when we all get to heaven, those who are there, we cannot evangelize any longer. We cannot disciple any longer. And here we are, the church in the Western world, just playing church games. Oh, I don't know if I like that worship song. Oh, the speakers aren't hanging from the ceiling. They should be doing that. Oh, that coffee wasn't great this morning, was it? What a load of rubbish, people. Coffee is good. The coffee's actually really good. I read a scripture. Anyone read a scripture now and then, Dave? I bet you have. And you read a scripture and you just get stuck on it for months because you're just like, is that actually like truth right now? Like, does that actually really mean what it's meaning? Like, because when I read the scripture beforehand, I thought it was the other way around. And the scripture is in Ephesians 3:10. And we must understand that in the Bible, there's always this word now. We cannot rely on last season's oil or last season's move of God. God wants to move now. And if you all look through the Bible, there's scriptures that start with the word now. Hebrews 11:1, now faith. Not last year's faith, not faith from 10 years ago. Now faith is the substance of all things hoped for. Amen. We read John 4:23. I read that this morning. Now a time has come when the true worshippers, now, right now. But here's the scripture that gets me, is in Ephesians 3:10. And this scripture blew my mind. And it says this, Ephesians 3:10. Now the intent of God was to show the principalities and powers of the heavenly realms the true manifold wisdom of God. Now through the church, the true manifold wisdom of God. Manifold means different variety. So now through the church, now, the church now, that's you and I. We, now through the church, will show the principalities and powers, the angels and the demons, the true wisdom of God. Excuse me? When I read that scripture, for me, my mindset, the way I believed was that actually the angels were God's amazing creation. The angel, these amazing beings, and they are these amazing beings. They're with God every day. They're in heaven every day. They're perfect. They're amazing. But we read that scripture, and that scripture says that no, the church is going to show them, the ones that are with God every single day, the ones that are in heaven that see His splendor, His glory, see everything about Him, know that us here, the church, are going to show them the true manifold wisdom of God. So I went on this journey of looking at angels and creation and all of this, and then I found out that the first thing that God actually created, from what I can see, is actually the angels. We read in Ezekiel that when God created all of creations, it says the angels rejoiced. That means when He created all of creations, the angels were already there because they rejoiced at His marvelous creation of all of the universe and all of the stars and everything. So they were already created, right? So if they were the first things, what I'm thinking is that God created, who's the first thing that the angels saw? God. God just went, however he does, blah. Boom, angels. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Because if they were the first things that God created, the first and only things that they would have seen when they were created was their Creator. So now I start getting the picture of when I read, because I never used to believe it. I was like, God, what are you talking about, man? They're not worshiping for you thousands of years. Holy, holy, holy. Now I start to understand why they do that. Because you've got to understand, the first thing they ever saw was God, their Creator. And then they turn around and now they're living in this amazing environment called heaven that is perfect, that has no sin, that has no darkness, no nothing. It is perfect. So we can understand that we can see these angels for thousands of years. Holy, holy, holy. They all go, my gosh, look at his creation. Then he started creating the stars and he started creating the planet and the trees. And then he went, check this out. Adam. And the angels, hey, that would have been like, that. Wow. They look like him. And then I reckon it got a little bit chaotic in heaven, because all of a sudden, Adam, as we know, we're all going to give him a punch of face when we get to heaven, you know, he stuffed it up. And so all of a sudden, they're going, oh, this creation, who we are in this beautiful creation, that's the real glorious place. These are the glorious creation, because those guys stuffed it up. Right? But no. You know, I shared this morning how I reckon the example of John 4:23 was Job standing there. The greatest example of that scripture was Job standing when he lost everything. And he stood in Job 1:21 and he stood there and said, ha! Ah, blessed be the name of the Lord who gives and takes away. He stood in worship and spirit and in truth, and the Father seeked him out and give him double. You know what I actually reckon though? When the devil walked into the throne room of God, as we read verses earlier, I mean, it would have been an interesting scene, right? The angels would have been sitting there, eh, in the throne room. Dun, 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 you know? And it says, the devil walks into the throne room of God. I mean, just visualize stuff. Just think about that for a second. Hear the angels? You know what I went through? What I reckon what went through God's mind, Eleanor? As he walked down the throne room, he went, ah, I'm going to show the angels Ephesians 3:10. What the true wisdom of God looks like. We see John 4:23 as they stand there worshiping. He stands there worshiping in spirit and in truth. But he then actually showed the angels and the demons and the principalities and powers in the heavenly realm the true wisdom of God, which is what? That we don't need to see God like the angels do every single day. We don't live in a perfect environment, but we know 100% who our Savior is by faith. And we turn up like Job did, with all our shame, with all our pain, with all our brokenness, not knowing what's going on. But we still just turn up going, oh God, I don't know where you are. But the true wisdom is what? Sorry about that. The true wisdom is to what? Keep turning up. And what I've come to realize is when you and I turn up every single week with your complacency, no longer doing the call of God on your life, but you keep turning up, we actually make heaven worship a little louder. Oh, are you getting this here tonight? Are you with me here tonight? So now the angels are watching us here tonight, and they see Byron get up and share how God touched his life. Byron shouldn't be in church because his mother's got cancer. And this boy should have a very angry spirit about him and should be thinking, man, what's going on, God? But he's turned up. He's just turned up. When we turn up every single week, youth people, listen to me, when you turn up to youth, we're showing the principalities and powers the true wisdom of God. That we don't need to see God like the angels see him. We don't need to be in a perfect environment like the angels are every single day. That we turn up by faith, knowing that God touched us a year ago, 3 years ago. But the true wisdom is to keep turning up, to keep praising, to keep worshiping, to keep believing. And then what happens? The whole of heaven's looking down going, what are you doing? Now they're opening up their wallets and they're giving their money away. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Your creation is perfect. Your creation is amazing. We don't just come when we come into church and praise and worship and change the atmosphere in Tauranga. We change the atmosphere in heaven, people. We allow heaven to illuminate and praise, and we see hell scream and screech, because every time we turn up, he loses. Now, through City Church Tauranga, have I gone really red and got the vein popping out? Yeah, it's good. Not the vein yet? Okay, I'll get there in a second. Now, through City Church Tauranga, we are showing heaven and hell the true wisdom of God. When I come to church, ever since now getting this revelation, you just can't shut me up. I'm sure people don't like sitting next to me on the front row at all anymore. Eh? I sing terribly, but I don't give a stuff. Eh? That with my son who was born with Down syndrome, with my other son who was born with a heart condition, that I had to dunk upside down in an ice bucket to keep him alive. I had to do it 14 times. The true wisdom of God was just to keep turning up. Trent shouldn't be turning up in this hour, in that moment. He should be talking to God, saying, God, why have you done this to me? But no, God, blessed be the name of the Lord who gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I just want to say too, by the way, that was here this morning where I shared about my son and his heart condition. He got healed, by the way, people. He's completely healed. I'm giving you a high five. Don't ever leave me hanging like that. Healed. They came into the hospital and said, we just want to tell you that the thing in his heart's disappeared. Yeah. Who was here this morning? You know how I shared, I didn't get to finish it because I just went on out of the time. But do you know how I shared about the guy that I was hunting down? You know that guy? And I held a knife to his throat. Do you remember that guy? All the visitors, hey, that have come here just for the night, they're like, did he just say knife to his throat? Anyway, go back and watch the meeting this morning. What I didn't finish was about 3 years later from that moment, I'm in my lounge, and Jade's in the kitchen, and I can hear that she's answered the phone, and it's her best friend, Mia. And Mia's hooked on methamphetamine. And I hear the conversation, yeah, it's all good, Mia. It's going to be okay. Yep, that's all good. Yep, yep, we're going to help you. Yeah, come to church this Sunday. And I could hear it. I was like, oh, God bless. Awesome. Me is, you know, yeah, we'll see you Sunday. Love you. Jade walks into the lounge. Babe, that was Mia. I said, hey, how's she doing? She goes, she's reaching out for help. She wants help. She wants to get clean. I was like, great. She's going to come to church this Sunday as well. I'm like, awesome. And she goes, yeah, she's going to bring her boyfriend. I said, cool. She goes, yeah, Trent, it's Dan. I was like, Dan the man, you know, like Dan. She goes, no, Trent, Dan. Dan Gray. Guess what the guy's name is that I was paying people to hunt down, that I wanted to kill, that I held a knife to his throat in broad daylight. Guess what his name is? Dan Gray. Do you know what my answer was in that moment? Oh, babe, there's plenty of other churches they could go to. You know, sort of, Mia looks like a Presbyterian, sort of like, babe, do something here. My wife's really wise, eh? This is what her answer was. Is that what Jesus would do, Trent? And I remember that Sunday so clearly, because I was preaching. And I don't know, Pastor Alan, if you've ever preached a message knowing someone in the audience is someone that you nearly killed. Sort of hold back a little bit, eh? And it gets even more interesting when you give an invitation for people to meet Jesus, and the only person that lifts their hand is Dan Gray. Imagine the angels right now. Oh, it's Dan. There's Trent preaching. There's Dan lifting his hand. And I remember it so clearly. Dan walks up. I just start crying. I give Dan a hug. He's just looking at me like, hello, Dan. Like, I should get on my knees in front of the whole church. I said, Dan, please forgive me for what I did to you that time. I do not know what I was doing. I was a very broken boy. And he's just, I get up and I stand there and I held him here. Hey, church, this is Dan. They're like, hey, Dan. I nearly killed him. The visitors are like, did he just say kill him? Yeah, we're to be drug addicts and gangsters. And all the new people are walking out, you know what I mean? 1 year later, I had the privilege of taking Dan and Mia's wedding. My wife and I are now the godparents of Dan and Mia's little children. Could you imagine heaven in that moment? And let me ask you this question. You want to see heaven illuminate? Would you let your public enemy number one, the person that caused you the trauma, the person that you despise the most, come and sit next to you in church next week? Because that's what Jesus would do. Now through the church, through you and I, we're going to show the wisdom of God to the angels, to the demons every week. You turn up, your husband's still drinking and not coming to church. When your wife's off with another man, with your cancer, with your anxiety, with all that stuff. And I believe God's going to break some of that here tonight at the end of this meeting. But when you keep turning up, we let heaven praise a little louder, worship a little louder, and we allow heaven roar as we show them the true manifold wisdom of God. We stand to our feet. Would you lift your hands to God? Reach out to Him, people. Hallelujah. Abby, you have a sister. And reconciliation and restoration is coming. Your sister is about to have a conversation with you, and it's going to be a little bit overwhelming. Because you're like, what? But it's going to make a lot of sense. You have a sister, right? Yeah, praise God. If it wasn't, I was like, is there another Abby? And she's going to share something with you, and it's going to make sense of why she did some of those things, and some of the stuff about it's going to make sense. I believe you. Is she in New Zealand? She's not in New Zealand. Yeah. So you're going to meet up with her real soon, eh? Christmas, great. Oh, you're going to Canada on Christmas, great. So you're going to sit down with her. And you're just going to talk with her. You're going to love on her. It's not going to happen in that meeting, but I believe it's going to happen a few months later. Because she's just going to feel something different about you. She's going to see you. She's going to miss you. She's missed you. But like, I just see the relationship just going to a whole nother level. You and your sister are going to be best friends for life. BFFs, buddy. But don't get angry about the things she's going to share with you. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You just pray, you love, and let God deal with the whole situation, because He's a God of justice. Amen. Lift your hands, people. Father, we just thank you. What a privilege and honor it is to be able to come and worship you so freely. And rock us to the core right now, God. Father, as so many of our brothers and sisters around the world are under persecution as they worship, as they can't publicly do what we do here today. And what a blessing, what a privilege and honor it is. And we thank you, God, that we, as we keep turning up in this hour, in this season, God, I just thank you, Jesus, that we are showing heaven and hell the true manifold wisdom of God. I thank you right now in Jesus' name that the atmosphere in this church is about to break. God, I believe that every week they're going to go from strength to strength, because they're going to turn up and they're going to know this revelation. They're going to hear from you week to week, God. God, that angels are going to turn up in these meetings, God. Your Holy Spirit is going to move so powerfully through worship that people will be healed and delivered. And Father, and we just declare, God, in Jesus' name, God, that something is shifting over this church right now. Would you lift your hands right out to Him? Holy Spirit, now faith. God, now is the time. And so we just thank you, Jesus, here today, God. And right, just here right now with your eyes closed and just your hands here, just keep it up here. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never given your heart to Him, you've never said, God, I make you my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. Something has shifted in my heart tonight. If you've never committed your life to Him, or you're here today and something shifted in your heart this morning and today, and you want to recommit your life, you want to say, God, I want to put you number one. You came to have a life for me that is selfless, and I'm not living that selfless life. And you want to say, God, I repent from the ways I've been living, and I want to turn to you tonight. And I want to say, God, I want to rock this thing, this walk with you. I want to burn for you all the days of my life. So right across this place, two categories. If you're here today, right now, and you've never given your heart to Jesus, and you want to do so, I'm going to get you to look, give me a wave. And if you're here today also, and you want to recommit, say, Trent, I don't want to live this life any longer. I know enough, God, to know that I should be living for you, and I'm not. And I want you to lift your hand, give me a wave as well. So right across this place, if that's you, first time or recommitting, give me a wave right now and say, Trent, that's me. Give me a wave. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All those people, if you're serious about this, come to the altar right now. Come here. Come. Come out of your seat, all these people. I'm going to lay hands on you right now. Come. All those people over here as well. Come. Come. Thank you, sir. Come. 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 Come out of your seat here today. If that's you, stand on this altar right now. Just come. Just come. Just come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift your hands, young lady. Say this prayer. Say this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I come to you today and I give you my life. I confess that you are Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Thank you that I'm forgiven of all my sin. Let me burn for you. Let my life bring you glory every single day. I repent of living my own life, not your way. So I just thank you, Jesus, that your mercies are new every day. It's not a second chance, it's a new beginning. In Jesus' name. And we said amen. Father, touch this girl right now. Fill her with power. Fill this man with power. Fill. Thank you right now. Lord, touch her. Your hands right now. I'm going to stay here and pray for people. We're going to close this meeting. You can go get your kids, but I'll stay here and pray for you. But let me just pray over your church, over this church right now. God, I pray that this church will be known as a church that lives a life of inconvenience. Father, every day where they go, the dairy, the gas station, in their workplace, they will be bold to share their faith. When they see someone that needs healing, they will pray. God, I pray from this moment in the name of Jesus, I declare that Tauranga never be the same from this moment. I pray, Jesus, as people came here tonight and repented, if you want to see revival, repent. And so I thank you, God, that the church has been under pressure, but God, fresh oil is coming. New wine is coming. And so, Father, I pray over this church and I declare, God, it never be the same. That now, through this church, the true manifold wisdom of God will be known to the principalities and powers of the heavenly realms. Father, I declare breakthrough. I declare, God, that the prayers of many mature folk here, God, it's the season of prayers being answered. It's harvest time, God. It's harvest time, Jesus. It's harvest time. Ellen and Ellen, I hope you've brought enough chairs because it's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's going to take all of you to look after this revival that's about to happen. It's going to take all of you. I see three services, five Sunday services, and I'm not just talking about Sunday. I'm talking about midweek. I see rehab stuff happening. I see drug addicts coming into this place. I see business people coming to meet here, not in the cafe, but they come to meet God. They're coming to meet not each other. They're going to come and meet God. And so I just thank you, God, that this place right now is an open portal to heaven. And Father, we declare in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Hand it back to you.